Okay, well, I would like to ask Robert and Anne-Marie to come up. Hunter, if you can put the first slide. This past week, we spent in the Dominican Republic. Three of us went, my son Robert Bailey, and then Anne-Marie Gavlis. And they'll give you more information in just a minute, but I wanted to let you know about why the Dominican Republic. About 20 years ago, a church I was on staff with, Decatur Presbyterian Church, was looking for a regular annual mission trip to go on, so we got in contact with Ministries in Action, which is a ministry out of Miami, and they recommended that we work with missionaries they knew in the Dominican Republic. So the first few years, we spent the time going to a little town called Guayamate, about on the east side of the island. And then about 13 years ago, they hooked us up with Sylvia and Samuel Martinez. And so Sylvia, you'll be hearing a lot about her, but Sylvia's on the right. She is a medical doctor in the community. So she has done a variety of means to meet the needs of all the people. You'll hear about some of those in a minute. She has a medical clinic. She has a food clinic, because a lot of times the food that the community gets from her feeding program is the only meals those kids get every day. There's a school that she started. And so we have been going down there, we in a loose sense, I with Decatur Prez, and Robert's gone some, Scotty's gone some, and this year the team went to work with Sylvia and Samuel. It's an ongoing ministry that's just amazing. And so I wanted to have Anne-Marie talk about some of the things that she was participating in, and then Robert will tell you more about the construction.
Good morning. So my name is Anne-Marie, and first I just wanted to share that I think whenever you go on a mission trip, there are like two aspects. There's like the part that changes you, and then the way you serve. So for me, going down, I heard about the trip when Carol and George Godwin came to present it to us, and I knew I wanted to go, but I wasn't sure how that was going to happen. So somehow, God moved someone's heart, and I don't know the specifics of how my trip was funded, but I know I was sent. So when I went there, it gave me a sense of urgency. Like, I'm here to do something, and God has a purpose for me here. So I know it seems pretty obvious, but that just reminded me that that's true every single day. So I'm always here on this earth with a purpose, and I need to have that sense of urgency every day. When we went down there, first Carol told us, it's kind of interesting that God always brings the right people on the trip for whatever projects are going on. So, you know, you hear a presentation and you think, oh yeah, but that's not going to happen to me. But when we went down there, I saw that every day. So the first day, I'm supposed to raise my hand to change the slide. So the first day, if we didn't know what project we wanted to work on, we were kind of supposed to go around and look at everything that was going on. So the first day, I spent the day with the children of the community from, basically it's built up around a garbage dump. So the parents go and they fish out things from the garbage dump, and that's how they live, that's how they build their houses, and get their food and everything. So anyway, this is the feeding program. So all the kids from the neighborhood, they come to that compound that Sylvia has there. It's a school during the school year, and then she has this feeding program. So that is Anderson. He was there every day that we were there. And that is a wheat-based substance that has all the vitamins in it. So it actually smells really good. It looks kind of bad, but it smells good. I would eat it. But the kids really like it, and they eat two plates of it if they can. Switch. And so that's just a bunch of the kids there, and it's crazy. There's like tons and tons of kids. So we helped out. They do this ministry all year round, so we helped out with it in like crowd control, serving, cleaning up, maintaining order. So that's all the kids that were involved in the feeding program. And then afterward, they have a Bible lesson. So either Franklin, who works with the ministry all the time, or one of the people who was on the trip with us gave a little Bible lesson, and then we had some type of activity afterward. Then after that, the kids were pretty much, since they're not in school, they were kind of just hanging around. So we got to just either talk with them, or some of us who didn't speak Spanish would just play with them. And basically, a lot of them just wanted to be picked up. They wanted to follow you around. They wanted to hold your hand. They wanted to be with you. They wanted to play with you. And that's, you know, their parents are off all day in the garbage dump, so they're basically left on their own. So that's what we did to some of the kids there. That was Anderson again. He chose me as his American the first day, so he wouldn't let me go, and he was like hitting any other kids that came nearby. And he's holding a little Matchbox car there. So it was actually eye-opening to me when we went on the trip that the other people who've been going on the trip for a long time, they knew the needs that were there. So they had all these donations from their church. So I hope next year we'll be able to help out in that way a little bit more. But that they brought them Matchbox cars. They brought them like Barbies that they had collected, used Barbies, and lots of different things for them. So that was his Matchbox car there, and that's Anderson. Next. So then one of the other projects was one of the teachers. She's a dean of students at a university in Alabama. She went down there to give a teacher's conference to Sylvia's teachers. So Sylvia has up through sixth grade, and that's Jill. She's on the left there, and it turns out she was really nervous about the presentation to the teachers because they didn't have a translator lined up. So got down there, and there was someone to translate the first day, but I wasn't involved in the teacher's conference because I'm a teacher, and I had just finished school on Friday, and I went down the next day, and I was like, I don't want to do anything with school, I don't think. So, but then I popped my head in that first day, and I saw what was going on, and I said, okay, Jill, you want me to help you tomorrow? So she wanted me to help her. So the next day, I ended up translating for the next 2 days with the teachers, and it was really cool. Like, I think that's the part where I said, oh, wow, this is like totally specific to my gifts. Like, I'm a teacher and I speak Spanish. So that's what I did for 2 days. I helped her out with that. And then, so there's another picture. There's me translating, and that's Jill, the dean. And that's just another picture of that. So we had actually about 10 teachers that were participating, and just that's all the teachers in the school, just one wasn't there. And basically, they had been praying to extend their school to 7th and 8th grade. So after the conference was over, it turns out that the government officials came to the school, had a conference with the teachers about what they learned, and saw the notes that that Jill had given to the teachers, and based on that, they granted them 7th and 8th grade. So that was an answer to prayer. Next. This is an example of just how everybody served on the trip. We had kids that went on the trip, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 13, 17, and they just played with the kids all day, did creative things. Like, I would never build with rocks in the dirt, but that's what they did, and that's what the kids liked. And they helped out with the crafts that we brought and things like that. So. Those are just some of the crafts that we brought. There was one woman on the trip who was just gifted in that. She brought crafts for all of our activities, all the groups that we visited, and they're painting right there. He's painting his face. And this is another activity that girls were doing, thumbprint animals and things. All right, this was the last, after we were in the garbage dump neighborhood called El Cacique, we went to another area of the country closer to Haiti. And so this is where the Haitian, they were originally Haitian, but they came to work in the sugarcane fields in the Dominican. And now there is no need for their for them anymore because it's machinery does their job. So they're just poor and they're stuck out in the middle of nowhere. So we went to give a women's, it was kind of like a women's fellowship. So what we were asked to do was share, all of us had to share something that God's doing in our lives or something that we struggle with so that those women there would see that the struggles are universal, you know? And that was kind of challenging because we're from such different cultures. But again, everyone stood up, shared something, and I'm told it's the first time that the women there actually shared also. So about 4 or 5 or 6 of them stood up too and shared with us. And then afterwards we made like a little craft and we had some time to talk one-on-one a little bit more. And this was one of the moments also that I shared on the trip where I had this moment of, wow, this is pretty amazing. We were all standing in a circle, closing in prayer at that meeting, and I was, this side I had a woman from Haiti. Over here, we're holding hands. And over here from the Dominican. And I just were praying, and I just realized, like, wow, who knows what this woman has been through in her life, you know, what her hands have done and what she's seen in her life. And on this hand, this side, I had the Dominican woman. And I just realized that we're all sisters in Christ, and that when we get to heaven, all those things that separate us on earth, physical boundaries and geographical, it's all going to be gone. So that was just another moment for me. So anyway, I'm going to turn it, that's what I did in the on the trip, and I'm going to turn it over to Robert.
So as Emery did more of the kids part of it, I did more of the construction part of it with my dad. And for the most part, we were in El Cacique, and we were building houses and stuff like that, but that's the church outside of the Bate. Emery. More people in the day, kids. Leave me. All right. So this is where I'm actually supposed to start now. But this is the school in the compound that Sylvia runs that we were talking about. Last year, I presented to y'all when I came back, and I was the only one from this church to go, but we went with the same group. And we built the second floor of this building. And so over there on the right-hand side of the picture, there's more of an unpainted area, and that's where the teachers' conference is being held, and the library and everything is over there. And then just everything in the middle, there's 5 windows apiece on each floor, and that's just where the classrooms are at. So there's about 3 vacant classrooms in there, and that's where the 7th and 8th grade is going to be expanded to. So they have the room for it. Nothing else needs to be done to the school for right now. But this is a water purification system that we put in a couple years ago in the Batays. And basically, not even the Dominican people are accustomed to be able to drink the water in Dominican. So it's very scarce. And in the Batay, when you're poorer than regular, you're going to have trouble getting water. So we installed that a couple years ago. And there's times where it can mess up, but for the most part, it allows them to be able to drink their own water. So the lady on the left is one of the teachers at the school. She has taken in a student that got kicked out of her parents' house and is into computer tech, stuff like that. And so we're building her this house right here. And that's pretty much where I was most of the week when we were in El Cacique. It's about a quarter mile up the road. And you can see Dad over there in the green shirt, working a little bit, but for the most part, this is where I was at. It's gonna be one story, two bedrooms, kitchen, living room, walkway, very simple. All we did the whole week was move sand, move block, and mix cement and put it together. And I mean, it's rough work, but it's definitely worth it. It's for a great cause. She needs it and deserves it. There's me just moving a little bit of block with some of the guys. One of the great things that was crazy to me is I was the youngest one of the people that were actually working. I was 21, and there's 3 people that were 26, 27, then everybody else was high 40s, low 50s, and they're just working their tails off the whole week with all of us and making sure us young guns kept going the whole time. there's Emery. I'm not really sure what you're doing in that picture, to be honest, Emery. Is she? So she's laying block in this picture. This is the first day when she was working with the kids. She came up and kind of saw the work site and everything. This is before she started the teachers' conference. More just moving block. So this is a latrine, which is a restroom. The reason that these are needed is because in the Batays, there is not a safe place to use the restroom. So the women would have to go out into the sugarcane fields, and there's assaults that go on when they have to do this. So our big project on Saturday was us guys, Friday night, we went over and stayed in a hotel, about 20 minutes away from this pate, and we got up at 5:30 in the morning and went over, and we built 8 latrines in about 6 hours. And so this is just one of the ones that was built the week before by our same group, because there's another group from the same place that went before us, and they're just kind of checking out the structure and how it should be done and everything like that. This is Dad, and then the guy on the right, his name is Mickey Latham, and he's from Birmingham, but they built this latrine with this young lady. What was the lady's
name? Ebony.
Ebony is a 14-year-old Haitian girl that, while everybody else was just doing their thing and running around like kids do, decided she wanted to help build a latrine. So she spent about 5 hours with Dad and Mickey building the latrine. And then this other Haitian man was the big man behind it and everything. But right outside of where this latrine was going on, there was this lady, and she was just washing clothes and everything. So you just kind of get the insight into how everything's done, how the cultures are different whenever you got have somebody washing clothes by hand and hanging them up on a barbed wire string that they found to make sure they're dry.
It was so hot, even the pigs had that.
All right, so this is an actual picture of the dump in El Cacique. It has actually been moved since I went the first time 10 years ago, because they ran out of room where the original landfill was. So now it's about a mile away from where the compound is of the school, but whenever you're walking around the little village, there's a high point that you can see, which is right here. And the thing about that is that there's so much gang activity and everything going, and drug deals and everything that goes down in the dump, that it's not safe for the kids to be there. So that's the main reason that the school's open year-round, so it's the best opportunity to keep them away from all that. These are a couple of kids. This is Mario and Gamalil, or Gama. And we took a couple of baseball gloves, and they're the kids we decided to give it to. And we found out later that they are in a semi-organized baseball league, but they're just ecstatic. They loved it. So this is George Godwin. I don't know how many of y'all remember him from a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago, and his daughter-in-law, Devin. And there's just this little girl that had cut her leg or something like that. And so, bug bite?
Dog
bite, apparently.
Oh,
and so they're she's a physician's assistant, and she'll be graduating here in 7 months or so. And George is a ear, nose, and throat, so he knows basic medical training and all that, along with his ENT stuff. So they're just making sure to take care of that at the school. When the first day we got there, it was tough to get some work done because it was raining the whole time. So kids were just kind of out there playing in the rain and everything. The kids themselves will go down to the dump and get old tires like this just to roll around, because there's not too many toys and things for them to do. So they make games where they like to roll tires at each other, try and take each other out. But this is Mickey again, just getting a note from a kid, I believe. And so the kids, they love us. All you hear the whole time, they don't really try and make an effort to remember your name unless you make an effort to remember theirs. So you just hear Americanos a lot, just in general yelling at everybody, so all of us turn around like, okay, which one do you want? But these are a couple of kids that we were hanging out with. Every time you get off the bus, you just get swarmed. This was the second day, I think, and we just got swarmed with kids before we got up to the job site, and they don't want to let you go. And then even if you can get them off you, they usually, a couple of them will try and grab your hands, and you'll have multiple on either finger or whatever, trying to just follow you around. So this is LB, I believe. He's one of the, I won't say more loved, but he knows how to get his attention from the Americanos.
He's
so,
got no shoes.
Yeah,
he's walking around on gravel.
He's got no shoes. A lot of them don't. They just kind of run around. You'll see a bunch of them playing basketball without any shoes or anything like that. But there's Emery with, is that Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anderson. So, see, Dad does work. I mean, he gets it everywhere, including his face. So, but yeah, this is the last slide, I believe. But that's just a little bit about the DR. If y'all have any opportunities, to help out, whether it's going or sponsoring somebody to go. I know I was sponsored this year to go, as well as Emery. So if y'all have any questions, you can ask me, Emery, or Dad, and we'd love to answer them.
Yeah, so you've seen a lot of what was going on. Basically, Sylvia and Samuel, they live and work in a community called El Cacique, which is not on a map anywhere. If you look it up, you can't find it. The closest named city is Haina, which is the home of Big Poppy, David Ortiz for the Red Sox. But it's a very small community. It was founded around a dump, if you can imagine. So the local economy comes from people searching through the dump, trying to find things they can scrounge and resell, and that's just how they make their money. So since all the adults are doing that during the day, all the kids are left unattended to and ignored. And so that's why it's so important that we go down there, and Sylvia and Samuel are down there taking care of these kids. And then every other Saturday, Sylvia and Samuel go out to the Batays. You might have heard Robert and Emery talk about that. Those are the poor villages where Haitian refugees live, and they're real near some of the sugarcane fields. And so they go there every other Saturday and do the same kind of things there that they do in El Cacique. That's closer to the western half of the island. And so we need to be praying for Sylvia and Samuel, and be praying for the various teams that go down there to assist every year. They have a variety of needs, and there are teams that have gone down there. We've built hospitals in the past, as you see, the school, water purification system, so houses for the teachers. Sylvia's goal is that she would have the best school in all of the Dominican Republic. And knowing her, she's going to accomplish that. So that's why the teachers' conference was so important, and Anne-Marie downplayed it. But she had, Sylvia had requested several months ago to have a 7th and 8th grade classes added to the school. And it was just lingering. You know how it is. It just lingers. And so they put on this teachers' conference that was successful largely because Anne-Marie was there to translate it. She understood the concepts being taught and was able to put it in their own words. And it was a roaring success to the point where that day that approval was hand-stamped and was approved by the state. So there was a lot of already tangible fruit we've seen, and there's going to be more and more as the project goes on year after year. So let's pray together for Sylvia, Samuel, for the mission teams to go down there, and for the